That's right. It's Midday Live, 800-222-5222. Henry, hang on for just a second here. Let's bring Gail Trotter in, political analyst, columnist. And Gail, you had some feelings about the recently passed or just passed House Syrian refugee bill. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be with you, Dr. Drew. Yes, we have a lot of action going on. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now. We had the 14th Street Bridge shut down today because there was a suspicious package on the bridge. And people in D.C., I will share with you, are really worried and nervous because ISIS has said that they're going to bring their attack to the center of our nation, which is Washington, D.C. So it's incumbent that our congressional leaders take action. We saw this bill pass in the House, but it will not do what we need done. And in the Senate, we had bills put forward by Senator Ted Cruz. There were two bills. One bill would strip citizenship from American citizens who go overseas and join with ISIS or these other jihadist organizations so that they can't use their U.S. passports to come back. And although Senator Cruz put forward this particular piece of legislation, two other senators, Democratic senators, I might add, Patrick Leahy and Dick Durbin from Illinois, objected to this legislation. And so what we need right now, which neither the House bill that passed today nor the inaction by the Senate accomplishes, is we need an immediate moratorium on immigration from these high-risk conflict areas, which have jihadists at work and that have unstable governments. They don't have the records on who the bad guys are. We need to do this to protect our American citizens, because that's the main goal of the federal government, is to make sure that our homeland is safe.
I have a caller. I hope he's still online here. I want him to have a chance to have at you here, Gail, a little bit. Henry, I hope you heard what Gail was saying. Do you want to ask any further questions of her?
Yes, it's just that I feel bad for the American people believing all these lie stories coming out of the White House and the media, you know, transport all this information to the American public. Unfortunately, the American public, they're in a deep sleep. You know, they need to wake up and uprise and get up against this government taking America into the wrong direction. You know, especially now we have a Muslim president feeling
no,
bad.
No, we don't have a Muslim president. I have to interject
yes,
there.
Yes, he is Muslim.
He is not. He's not a Muslim.
He is
well,
a Muslim.
I think what he's saying is, I've heard this argument before, is that because there's some, Gail, you're still with me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard this argument, it's a polemic that's built on a logic that may or may not, you know, you may or may not understand. I don't understand it, but somebody somewhere said that if you're raised Muslim, you're always Muslim, and then therefore the president is Muslim because he had was raised around or within the Muslim faith, and he is not a practicing Muslim, for the record.
No.
Right, Gail?
No, yeah. I just want to make sure of that, because I think it's important to have data and facts, and we have a strong enough argument on the data and the facts. For example, it's not humanitarian to take these Syrian refugees in because it costs so much more to resettle them in America. We take one Syrian refugee, we bring them to America, it costs 12 times more than what it would take to make sure the person is safe in Syria. So if you take one Syrian refugee in the U.S., then that's 11 people, 11 Syrian refugees that you cannot help. So there are humanitarian issues. We don't have...
Say that again. Say how that works. I didn't quite follow that. How does
that
work?
So,
one more time.
So if you take a Syrian refugee from the conflict zone and you resettle them to America and you provide
them... Wait. What does that mean even? I mean, most of the Syrian refugees from the conflict zone are in Hungary or Germany or something.
Yeah, but President Obama wants to bring 10,000 of them in the next year to resettle them.
Straight out of Syria or out of Western Europe?
Out of the conflict zone. So either from these UN refugee settlement camps in the Middle East or from Europe. Europe would like us to take some of the Syrians who have gone to Europe.
I heard that Europe was very anxious we should have some. Yes. Go ahead.
So when you bring a Syrian refugee here, you have to provide health care, you have to provide housing, you have to provide food, you have to provide schooling. When you add up the cost of doing all those things in the United States, obviously it's a lot more expensive to do that given the prices of things in the United States. If you were able to keep the people in the Middle East region away from the conflict and in accordance with UN law, which says that when you have refugees, you're supposed to house them in the country closest to the conflict so that when
Gail, let's get right to it. What is up with Saudi Arabia? Isn't that the question? Why do they have millions of tents ready to accept Syrians and they're refusing to take any? And I think the logic is they don't want to be infected. That's their logic.
If you think about the leadership of Saudi Arabia, it's a very powerful family. So they have 10,000 members of their royal family, but they have this very strong Wahhabist Muslim organization in their country that is always opposing the royalty of Saudi Arabia because they think they're apostates.
Potentially one of the birthplaces or the at least philosophical birth zones of the extremism movements, right?
Absolutely. And where did Osama bin Laden come from? His family was Saudi Arabian.
But you didn't really answer my question. Why can't we muscle Saudi Arabia to shoulder some of the burden? What is it with the world situation? I don't hear anybody saying anything to Saudi Arabia other than sort of polemic articles in newspaper, in magazines.
Well, our administration under President Obama certainly is not going to do that because Obama wants to bring the refugees over here, even though, as I said earlier, bringing one refugee over here for the same price that you could take care of 12 refugees in that region, including Saudi Arabia.
And so why not then make some sort of deal? Like, okay, we'll take one, you take two, or something where there's a deal. I mean, why? It seems like we don't ever negotiate.
You have to have the will to negotiate. President Obama doesn't want that. He doesn't want that strategy. He wants these refugees and other people he wants to increase immigration generally from all of these countries, but particularly from the Middle East. So you're asking, why is he not negotiating? Because that's not his position. That's not what he's trying to advocate for.
All right, Gail, can you hang on just a minute with me?
Oh, sure.
Okay, great. Gail Trotter, columnist, political analyst. And Gail, website or Twitter handle?
GailTrotter.com, G-A-Y-L-E, and my Twitter handle is GailTrotter, G-A-Y-L-E.
Gail Trotter is with me. She's a columnist, political analyst. And Gail, I want a caller to have a chance to comment, so here we go. This is Robert. Go ahead.
How are you doing, Dr. Drew? How are you doing, Gail? I heard you say that it'll be more expensive for us to take in these, to take them out of the region and bring them over here to the United States, but I wasn't. Are you aware that Assad turned off the water there? So that started the civil war when he turned off the water to all the farmland in the area.
Yes, I've heard that, Gail. In fact, I think Bernie Sanders made the case that it's actually global warming, not just Assad and the water supply. But go ahead.
Well, my first answer to that is, actually, the most important thing is that it's a threat to the American people if we bring the Syrian refugees here. And we had the director of the FBI say that they cannot vet the Syrian refugees. They cannot even vet any refugees from that area sufficiently to make sure that they don't pose a threat. We certainly don't have enough police officers, soldiers, intelligence people to keep track of 10,000 Syrian refugees, plus all of the other refugees from Nigeria, Somalia, all of these other high conflict areas. And the idea is not to keep the people in Syria where the water has been turned off, where the entire infrastructure has been completely decimated, but to put them in areas that perhaps are overseen by the Kurds or, you know, give Jordanians more support for the millions of refugees who are in Jordan right now. And the idea is that you are not going to keep the people in Syria because obviously they're going to get hammered from the airstrikes and the complete brutality of ISIS and the ongoing civil war. But the idea is you take them to the place that's closest to their country of origin but is safe. And as Dr. Drew said, Saudi Arabia is a great option for that. But this administration has got to want to put the pressure on countries like Saudi Arabia, which are safe, which could house the Syrian refugees, but at a much lower price than what we could in the United States. Not because we don't want to do that.
I wonder if there's a pragmatic issue. I wonder if they, for instance, let's give the administration a little break. Maybe they know something from an intelligence standpoint whereby putting these guys in Saudi Arabia may more likely radicalize them than if we get them out of there and put them in, you know, a democratic you know, Western country. It's just an interesting thought. And they may be,
it is.
There may be more of the decision making than we know, but I agree, it's a little troubling.
It is, but when you think of radicalization, it happens in the United States too. We
have at least
100 that have left the United States and gone to the Middle East to take up arms with ISIS. So I don't think bringing them to the United States necessarily avoids that problem.
Yep. Gail, thank you so much as always. Really appreciate your commentary.